The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five. Let's go. Four, three.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Jerry Nadler, he's the congressman who's up on Capitol Hill today, asked by a reporter whether he expects the White House to move to block Robert Mueller's testimony.
Well, they may attempt to. I doubt that they would succeed because Mr. Mueller is an honest man and understands that that congressional subpoenas are not optional. And I suspect that whatever the White House says, they're not going to make us. Mueller will not make us try to enforce a subpoena in court.
Okay. The White House, I don't think, can stop it. But they can, well, they could go to court to try to stop it, get an opinion on that, about whether it's executive. But Mueller himself, that's right. Jerry's right. Jerry's always right. Mueller himself is not going to try to stop it. But we'll see. Here's more of Nadler.
Attorney General Barr led a campaign of misinformation to deceive the American people about what was in the report. The president joined in by repeatedly saying no collusion, no obstruction, which is not what the report found. So I think it's very important that the American people hear from Mr. Mueller as to what he did find.
Yeah. All right.
Is it going to really change anything again, though?
You know, I doubt it. We were talking to John Williams about that earlier on the web. I don't know that it will actually change anybody's mind. But I think that it does need to at least go into the public record. Because what the Attorney General put into the public record is not 100% accurate. And that's unfortunate. It's not that he lied about it. It was deception by omission, right, essentially. And that's a problem, I thought, for the Attorney General of the United States.
Deception by omission?
Mm-hmm.
Come home late.
Yep.
Where were you, Ro? Just omit a few things from the storyline.
Yeah. Well, I've been known to do that.
We came home. That's it. Forget about everything else that happened.
Where were we? We were there.
At that bar over there.
We went to that place. You know, we had that. Now, the president had his own thoughts about Mueller.
Number four.
He was just about to get on an airplane. He's going to Osaka, Japan. And I hope he gets a Japanese toilet when he's there. I really do.
That would really be his new best friend.
Yes. I'm telling you.
Or only friend. Who knows?
Right. It's my only friend. My Japanese toilet. But that's not why.
Is this the one Rokan has?
I don't want that one. I want the better one.
With gold plates.
But, wait, hold on. Here he is talking about whether he thinks Mueller should be testificating.
Now, look, the Mueller thing never stopped. There was no collusion. There was no obstruction. There was no nothing. How many times do we have to hear it? It never ends. It just keeps going on and on. I've been going through this for 2 years, 2.5 years, and the criminal activity was on the other side with the fake dossier, the phony fraudulent dossier, and all of the other things they've done, the FISA courts, all of that, with the insurance policy by Strzok and his lover, Page.
Oh, wow.
Right, that's what happened. That was the bad stuff right there.
This is a disgraceful thing, and now we keep... I heard about it last night, and I just said, does it ever end? At what point does it end? It's a disgrace. No obstruction, no collusion. Now, the Democrats want a do-over, so they had a do-over in the House. That didn't work. They had a do-over in the Senate. That didn't work. There are no do-overs.
Yeah, I like when he says that. I know that that's... You know, he likes to stick with his... with lines, right? I mean, It's really name it, blame it, repeat it. That's
repetition, repetition, repetition.
Branding.
Yes. Branding. It's branding. It's no do-overs. But isn't that really from like third grade? Not even fourth grade? The fourth graders are looking at third grade and saying, no, there are do-overs. No do-overs. Yeah.
I said time out.
I said time out.
I'm not playing anymore.
All right. Now, wait. It's not done.
We spent a long time working with Mueller. I gave him all the witnesses he wanted. I gave him lawyers. I gave him people. I guess he interviewed 500 people, 2,500 subpoenas. They had everything they could possibly have. Nobody's ever had more. Nobody's ever been more transparent. And now it continues further? This is just a hoax. I call it the witch hunt, but it's really a hoax. It's the greatest hoax ever in the history of our country.
Cracks me up.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Well, wait to hear this. This one kind of gets me a little bit. And we got more of him today. He has been on a tear. I don't think he slept well last night. I hate going to Japan. I mean, I think he's done a lot of international travel, and it is said of him that he's not a big fan of that. And he's been, just the month of June has been brutal. Nobody would have wanted to have done it the way he has been. He was in Asia, then Europe, now back to Asia. And so I'm sure he had a fitful night's sleep. So when they asked him, a reporter asked him a question. Do you have the question in this, too? All right, here's the question about Vladimir Putin.
I'll have a very good conversation with him. What I say to him is none of your business. Go ahead.
He was asked if he was asked by that reporter, did you tell Vladimir Putin not to interfere in the next election? And his answer was, what I told him is none of your business. Actually, factually incorrect. It actually, factually is our business. We pay his salary. And he cannot say, well, I don't take a salary, so I don't have to answer your questions. That is not true. He is the president of the United States. He has a fiduciary responsibility to be honest and forthright about that. And if he did say to a world leader, which would be an appropriate thing to say to him, you interfered with the last election, everybody agrees with that, don't interfere with this one, pal. He should tell us that he said that. Not, it's none of your business. Because he's telling the American people, it's none of your business. I don't think that's right. Do you think that's right?
The guy that works for us, the people?
Right. He works for us. No, I don't. You work for me.
Exactly. You're exactly right. He didn't think that. He didn't think that he works for us.
No, does not. If I worked for you, I'd be taking the salary. But I'm not. To the coal mines for you. Wait, no, hold on. That's too good of a job.
Hard labor. Right, my buddy Kim Jong-un told me about this hard labor thing.
You get one potato a month. All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 on WGN TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number 3.
Car dealership in rural Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Is encountering some pushback. It's Chatham Ford in Chatham, Alabama. They're running a God, Guns, and Freedom promotion that promises a Bible, a 12-gauge shotgun, and an American flag to anybody who buys a car between now and July 31st.
One-stop shop. Perfect.
Kobe Palmer, the general sales manager, says, I don't know what big deal is about that. And Terry Flowers, who took advantage of the promotion, says, it's all a big fuss.
It's grown a lot more than we anticipated. It was just something we just threw together. We had no idea it was going to spread outside of our little bubble here in South Alabama. Not even full 3 business days since then, and we've already sold in excess of 5 just because of the ads.
I think we done signed the papers, and it's like, oh, by the way. Yeah, it's like, right. Oh, yay. It was like, oh, wow, we're getting a gun.
It was 3 good things, and I thought it was pretty cool.
No matter how many people come by a car, truck, SUV, they'll be able to take full advantage of getting themselves a Bible, a flag, and a gun.
You say in excess of 5?
We sold 5 whole vehicles.
Yeah, 5 cars in 3 days.
That's in excess of 5, which means 6. That's what that means. That was it. Well, it's rural Alabama. I mean, there are
yeah,
a whole
it's probably
lot of
big for
there.
Them.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I like it.
I think it means 6, but 1 got returned.
Right.
Are people upset about this?
As people are upset about this.
Oh.
That I mean, it's actually this is not the first time this has been done. There was a car dealer that was giving you AK-47s.
Yeah.
That's
in Colorado.
That's a bit much.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens. Well, you need a shotgun. I'm gonna get you a shot. Now, see what they do is they give you a shotgun and then they upcharge you for the shotgun rack on the car. So that's smart. And a Bible holder inside. Now we could get you a Bible holder. Now that's gonna be $199.99 extra right there with the undercoating. But would throw them in there together. And then, of course, flagpole, that's another $299.99. And then the gun rack is $399.99. So by the time you're out the door, you owe us $1,072.57.
But how much is your freedom worth to you?
Exactly. I want to make sure. All right. We're not trying that here, I don't think. I don't know. You never know. I don't know anything anymore. You know what I don't know? Here's what I don't know.
Number two.
Why Bill Clinton wants his own podcast. Yep, he's getting one. He, along with his daughter Chelsea, through the Clinton Foundation, are launching a podcast. She's going to do one. He's going to do one. They're going to do one together. I thought Hillary was going to be part of this, too, but apparently they've, like in everything else, he forgot that she was around. Wait, what? What do you mean she wants to do it? No one's going to listen to her podcast. She lost to Donald Trump. This, let's just think about this for a second. If Bill Clinton, basically Donald Trump, just with a better attitude, if he had a podcast, at what point is he done talking about this stuff, right? I mean, his political day is kind of behind him. He can complain about what's going on now. But I thought, maybe on one of his podcasts, he could read excerpts from Judith Krantz's novels because she just passed away. So I just, you know, had a little thought of like, I'd like to read you a few excerpts from the book Scruples from 1978, 2 years on the bestseller list in New York Times. After that first time, he used every art he knew to bring her to pleasure. Oh my God. As if that might be the key that would unlock the door between them. Sometimes she achieved a fleeting little spasm, but never knew that it came from one of her recurring fantasies. In her mind, she was being made love to by an anonymous lover, lying on a low bed, surrounded by a ring of men who were watching her avidly. They were hurting, almost bursting, making a movie of what they were watching. If she concentrated hard enough on their excitement, their frustration, she was able to be pleased. The end. Chelsea, did you get all that?
You guys are rolling on that, right?
I never thought I could feel more bashful than just reading parts of 50 Shades of Grey, but just listening to that made me feel even worse.
Bill, we forgot to record. Give us another take.
All right, here we go again. All right, let me take this. I made a little mistake on spasm. Let me take that little spasm word again. God. All right. Checking in at
number one.
Long time Chicago print and television news reporter Russ Ewing has died. He worked at ABC7 for many years, and before that he was at NBC. And through those years, Russ's instinct for news had drawn him into some truly tense confrontations. There was, for example, a 4.5-hour hostage shootout in 1976 when two men in ski masks attempted to rob a currency exchange. Police gunfire wounded both robbers, who promptly grabbed a couple of women customers and demanded to see the reporter, Russ Ewing, before giving themselves up.
They promised to kill everybody up there, and then they just start changing their mind.
Russ, it was obvious.
They let them come out one at a time. They laid all the guns in the middle of the floor, and they let them come out one at a time.
He started as a musician. He was actually a really, really profound piano player, but the lifestyle was not for him.
I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't like nightlife. So after a while, I said, this isn't for me.
Russ Ewing was a guy that I think there's a total, there's dozens of fugitives who turned himself into Russ Ewing to walk. He was the guy that in town, if somebody was wanted, they called Russ and he brought him into the police station. So nothing bad would happen to him.
Which you don't see anywhere else.
Right.
You can't even get innocent people to talk to you as a reporter these days.
Yeah. He was a pretty amazing guy. In 1995, he talked about his impending retirement.
I think it's as important to know when to quit as it is to know when to start. And it's time to quit.
Russ Ewing was 95.
The top five at five.